Okay, the Bible says that we're supposed to confess our sins to one another, and I confess to the early group, so I'll confess to you as well, that when they fumbled the third quarter, I turned the TV off last night. Couldn't take it anymore. I just thought, I can't, and I did push the record button, so I do get to, and then I got this morning, I looked at the score, and I thought, geez, I should have watched. So anyway, I'm glad for the way things ended up. Someone afterwards says, you of little faith. I said, I know. So anyway, we're in a series right now. If you're a guest, we've been in a series. You know, here's one of the things the Word of God says. One reason we hang so tightly onto this world, and not only tightly onto it, but one reason we get so wrapped up and emotional and upset as we see things sometimes feeling like they're falling apart around us, and we're in a world where they're just, you know, it's filled, you know, so some of you older folks are, you know, you turn on the news and you said, I hear this so much, I never thought I'd ever see the day when, and you can finish that sentence every way, any way you want to, but even if you're younger, I mean, there is just, there are a lot of parents that don't let their kids watch the news. And part of why we'll see this, that we're so wrapped in that, so disturbed in that, is because of the realization or the not understanding that this is a short-lived time frame. And in fact, especially if you know God in a personal way, and really that's what we're about. You know, it's interesting, and I've shared this before, often as a pastor, people, I'll get introduced to somebody, and they'll say, well, he's a pastor, and they'll say, oh, you're a religious person, and I will say, I'm not religious. I really am not, because that's not what God's about. He's never been about religion. The idea of religion is us trying to figure out our way to God. That's what religion is, and that's why religion is so wrapped up in rules and steps and do this and don't do that, but God's always been about relationship, and a relationship that He wants to have with us. He wants to be in personal conversation with us. He wants us to know Him as our Father, and that's really where His heart is. And to be in that relationship, and what we're told is, in fact, part of it wraps into what we're talking about today, is way back in early in creation, humanity made a decision to step away from God's will for them. And when we did, and that's called sin, it broke the relationship, and that has perpetuated ever since that day. And so we're constantly making decisions that are contrary to God's heart, the one who designed us and His will for us, which is all wrapped in and up in His love and wanting us to be blessed, but we choose to go other directions. And when we do that, it has broken the relationship. And so what God did was He moved towards us. He took the first step. Anytime a relationship is reconciled, somebody has to move first, and God did. And what He says is, I'm offering you, I've already paid the price so that I can forgive you, because forgiveness costs something. He says, I paid that price. I'm offering you forgiveness as a gift. If you'll receive my gift of forgiveness, then I will adopt you into my family, and our relationship will be restored. But here's the part we're talking about now, and I will make a room for you. I got a place for you in home, and that it is our home. And in fact, that's the way He says it. When Jesus was leaving His disciples, and they're getting a little distraught because they didn't know He was going to leave them, and He's trying to get them prepared for it, and He says to them, don't worry, because I'm going to prepare a place, a room for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. And so what we're trying to do, because the Word of God says, the more we know about our real home, the more relaxed we'll be in this temporary place we're in right now that is not our home. And so that's what we're in. We're a process of trying to learn about that home. And you know, we can't know everything, but we can know some things, and we know it because God made sure it was in His Word so we'd understand. So we're walking through that. Well, part of this is, even in the process of saying, you know, how do I know when it's getting close? Well, I mean, some of us, and we've talked about, we'll get into this a little bit, but, you know, heaven is our home right now, but we're going into the fact we've discovered as we walk through this series, and unless you want to stay all day, we can't go through back through all of it, but we've discovered that there is a heaven that when someone who knows God dies, they go to now, But that's a temporary place. It's an intermediate heaven. Someday God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what we're getting into now is, okay, what's that all about? Because I never heard about that before. I always thought, you know, just their heaven, that's it. And then wherever that is, we get our harp, we get our cloud, and that's what we do from now on. And remember we read that one pastor who said, if that's what it is, I really don't want that. That's, you know, that kind of sounds boring to me. And you probably have maybe thought the same thing. So we want to understand this. And so he talked, and you know, some of you have walked through this. You remember that the plans had been laid, and you know, the suitcase was packed and ready by the door. The husband to-do list was made. In fact, there were about five of them. There was one on the bathroom mirror, because you know how we are. There was one on the refrigerator. There was one in the refrigerator. There was one on the door leading to the garage. And there was one just in case he missed all of those other ones. There was one on the speedometer in the car, so that at least the last time he'd see that. And there, all those are made because you're waiting for those pains to begin. And when those pains begin, you're going to tell him it's time, and you know he's going to panic and he'll forget everything if he doesn't have a list to look at. And so, and you remember, or if in our case with our son Josh, my wife told me it was time three times. And three times we did the run to the hospital only to get there and the doctor and it stopped and we'd go back home. And that happened for way too often. But so you've been through that. Well, that's real. I mentioned that because that's one of the illustrations that God gives, because he says here, he uses that as an analogy. He says, so how do I tell when we're getting close to when God returns and is going to create this new heaven and new earth that I'm going to get to be a part of if I'm his child? And let me read you, you don't have to turn to it, but it's found in Matthew. I'm going to put it on there so you can look at it later if you want to. Matthew 24, and listen to what he says in these verses. And that's their question. The disciples, they've been talking about this, and so now the disciples have pulled him aside, and in more of a private conversation, they've asked him for more information. And it says, and Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming, of your coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. Here's what, and then he starts talking about these things. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't hear any of that nowadays, do you? And he goes on, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. See, there it is. If we have a perspective of, okay, this is all going in according to plan, then I don't panic about that. See to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. He said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these are the beginning of birth pains. So as you start seeing these happen, and obviously there's always been some of this, but there'll be an increase that will say that will seem like, okay, this is becoming more and more common. And he says, that's the beginning. That's the birth pains that are saying, Lord's going to return soon. And for us as Christians, it should be this is exciting because I know my Lord's returning soon. I'm not sure it always is because we don't know what to expect. And we should, because the Bible talks about it. God has laid it out for us, and that's why we're trying to know. We're trying to get as much information we can so that we're excited about this. Not excited at the struggles that the world is going through, but the realization that they're just pointing to the fact that soon God's going to put an end to all these struggles. And that's what we've been talking. Well, there's another illustration. In fact, last week we looked at this verse, and this verse leads into another analogy that God used for how we should, if we understand our real home and what it's like, how it should impact us. And this is the opening verse, and this we saw this last week. It says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's saying, it's coming. This your home is coming. It's on the horizon. We're starting to see birth pains. And I want you not to be afraid. Again, it has that impact on us. It relaxes me because, excuse me, I see these signs as an indication that soon my Lord's coming back. And when he does, that's going to be a wonderful day. But here's the other analogy. So then he goes on after this, and he gives this analogy. He says, be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. Now, that's kind of a foreign thing to us, but back in that day, it's using this analogy. Here's a wealthy man that has gone away with his bride for the wedding. And while he's away, as soon as the wedding's over, everybody, all the servants in the household, they know he's coming back. And while he's gone, and while they're at the wedding's taking place, the servants aren't hanging around watching football, you know, having a drink and, you know, kind of eating potato chips. No, they know that he's coming back pretty soon. And so they want it to be ready. They want it to be perfect. And so they're busy around the household getting everything exactly right, getting the lights outside lit so that he doesn't have any trouble and his new bride doesn't have trouble finding the... And he says that's the way it should impact us as when we, you know, we hear these things and we see these things going around the world, and we've only looked at a few of them, and we say, okay, this sounds like maybe the Lord's returning soon, and when he does, he's going to do all these wonderful things, and we're going to have such a party and a celebration, and we are. That's one of the first things we do is we eat together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love that. But he says, but they're saying, I want to be ready when he does. I don't want him to show up and me going like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were coming, and because we don't know exactly. He says, I want you to be ready. This should impact us this way. And that's why we're thinking this through. And because we trust and we know that God has this promise, and we're excited, and we're getting more excited as we look into it. And so, you know, it's really interesting because here's what I think maybe the new part for some of us, because a lot of us, like I said earlier, when we thought about heaven, we kind of thought it in this context, that, you know, I die and I go to this place that's called heaven. I'm not sure what happens to earth after that, you know, evidently it's just, but I'm in heaven now, so I don't really care, but I got to tell you, for a lot of us, that just doesn't quite do it for us. Because I know there are problems on earth, don't you? I mean, there are problems, there are struggles. But I also got to tell you, I've climbed up some mountains back in my younger days. Now I drive to the ones that can drive to. But I've driven, and I've been to some of those lakes that are up there away from everything and that are so clear that, you know, you'll go out, if you look, go out on them and look down, you feel like they're probably 2 foot deep, and they're really 20 foot deep. But it's just, and you look at that and you go, man, this is so beautiful. And you kind of think to yourself, if you don't really understand, I wish heaven was like this because I love this. And the reality is it is going to be like this. In fact, those words I put up on there are the kind of words that the Bible talks about when it refers to this planet and what is called the new heaven. Because what he tells us is the heaven that we go to now when we die is where the Lord is. And we're always going to be with God. That part is true. But someday that heaven is going to be done away with. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And he richly describes it in his word. And it's going to be our place. And he uses words like redeem. Redeem means to buy something back or restore, recover, regenerate. Resurrect. Those are the kind of terms he uses. See, in fact, I love this quote. This Albert Walters, here's a quote. He says, God hangs on to his fallen original creation and salvages it. He refuses to abandon the work of his hands. In fact, he sacrifices his own son to save his original project, humankind, which has botched up its original mandate and the whole creation with it. Is given another chance in Christ, we are reinstated as God's managers on earth, and the original good creation is to be restored. That's what's going to happen. So as you look around this planet, and then there's things you look at, you say, that is so cool, that's so wonderful. Oh, I hate to leave that behind. You're not going to leave it behind. It's just going to be better, even better than you imagine now. And so the only thing I don't agree with what he said is he in that part where he says that we've been given another chance. That's not, you know, when I hear someone, well, I'm going to give you another chance, then on the other side is that there's another chance I could blow it. That's not going to be the case, because when he creates the new heaven and the new earth and we get to be a part of it, sin is no longer going to be in the equation. You and I will never, we'll never mess it up. And so it's our eternity is going to be spent that way. So it's a wonderful thing to get this perspective and to realize that the reason I enjoy so much about what I see is because I was made to enjoy it, and I'm going to get to continue to enjoy it, only better than I see now, because there will be none of the impact of sin on anything in earth. You know, you ever had this feeling? I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me, but I remember years ago, at the time I was working on my master's degree, so I was away from home a lot and away from my family a lot and for classes. And the church I was pastoring at the time, they wanted me to attend this conference down in Atlanta, Georgia for pastors. And I really didn't want to go because I'd been gone so much. But they asked me to, so I felt like I should. And so I remember going to it, and it was a good conference. I was glad I was there. But all week long, I'm just anxious to be back with my family. I just am longing. And so finally, the day comes, the conference is over, and I'm going to catch the flight back. And I arrived, I can't remember, but I was really, really early at the airport because I didn't even want to take the slightest chance that I would miss that plane. And so I got there real early. And so finally came time for my flight to board. And so I got on the plane, and we took off. And the closer I got to home, the more anxious I got. And I'm getting so excited. I'm so anxious to see my wife. I'm so anxious to see my family. And we're about 5 minutes from the Baltimore airport, which is where I was flying to, when the pilot comes over the loudspeaker and says, which you rarely hear in Baltimore, a blizzard has hit Baltimore. And they've closed the airport. They've sent us back to Atlanta. And maybe we'll get out tomorrow. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I went, you know, sometimes I feel kind of like that when I read about the Garden of Eden. It's kind of like, gee, I didn't get to be there. I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to experience that opportunity of actually walking through a garden with God and having a conversation like Adam and Eve did. And you read this, this one place where it talks as that God had planted a garden in the east. In Eden, and there he put a man that he had formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a river that ran through the garden, watered everything. And it's like, I never got to see that, and there's a disappointment in me. A disappointment, a longing to experience that. And you have that same longing. We may never have applied it to that, but I got to tell you, everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about. There's a longing. There's something better. There's got to be something better. I've missed out on something. Yeah, you've missed out on that, but not forever, because that's God's plan for you. His plan is to sometime. In fact, I believe you're going to get the experience of the Garden of Eden itself, because I think from what I see in Scripture that it's in the middle of this town called Jerusalem. It's going to be a new Jerusalem that we'll talk about in a moment a little bit. But the whole earth is going to be a garden, and you're going to get to walk and talk with your God, your Father. You're going to get that experience if you're a child of God. And man, that should juice you up a little bit. And that's why he told us these things, because it is our future. You know, it's interesting, Peter, and we've talked a lot about Peter off and on, but Peter, he's that guy that, you know, a follower of Jesus, spent time with him when he was walking on earth, when it came time to, you know, put up or shut up, when he had the opportunity to stand up for his relationship with Jesus, he shut up. And in fact, worse than that, remember, even he couldn't even stand up to a little girl. You know, I don't know that man, never blankety blank guy. I've never seen him in my life. That you remember that opportunity. But then Jesus restores him after he resurrects from the dead. He has this conversation with Peter, and as God always is willing to do, he restores that relationship. And in fact, he tells Peter, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in the days ahead in a mighty way in my church. And so this is after Christ he had gone back to be with the Father. And Peter preaches, here's this shy guy that couldn't stand up to a girl, but now he's standing in front of these people, and he preaches this message, and it's an outstanding message. You ought to read it if you want to. It's not long, but it's in Acts chapter 3. And when he was done with this message that day, the amount of believers that was gathered was 120 when he started the message, and it was thousands when he was done. I can't imagine. I think about the disciples, and I'm thinking, okay, what do we do with all these people? You know, because now that's the church in Jerusalem. It just grown to thousands of people. So Peter preaches this message, but here's one of the statements, because this has always been what God has told us about our planet and about what our futures. He preaches this message, he makes this one statement. He says, he, Jesus, must remain in heaven until the time comes from God, hear that word, to wipe everything away, destroy it, leave that crummy earth behind, and now he's going to restore everything. He's going to put it back to the way he originally created it. You're going to get to experience that if you're one of his followers, one of his children. Just as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. In fact, we're going to look at a couple of those promises. Maybe not. It's 11:25, so we may not get to that. But here's the thing. God doesn't make no junk. He doesn't, and he didn't. We junked it up, but he's going to put it back. And he wants you to be a part of that. He doesn't want anyone left behind. We saw that verse last week. In fact, the passage, again, where we read what Peter wrote in the letter that he wrote to the churches, and where he asked the question. He said, some people say, well, you keep saying he's going to return, but he never does. Why doesn't he? And remember, Peter says, it's because he's being patient, because he doesn't want anyone to not have an opportunity to step into that relationship. And that's his call to you this morning. If you're here and you don't know that relationship with God. In fact, you came here thinking you were going to hear about religion. And that's not what it's about. It's about God, the Father, who says, I want you to be part of my family. And I know it's tough on this earth sometime, but I got to tell you, I got a better place for you if you'll just let me make a room for you, because I want to so bad. So accept the forgiveness I'm offering so our relationship can be restored. That's the message he has for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your story is. Whatever it is, he already knows it. But he loves you, and he wants that to be your home. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder of your passionate heart for us this morning. There's not a person in this room that you don't love more than they could ever even possibly understand. And you've told us that when we accept that restored relationship, that gift of forgiveness, you become our Father, we become part of your family, and you're right now, you got a ready place ready for us. We're getting bits and pieces of what that even means in this conversation. We're looking at that new earth and the new heaven, and we didn't even get into it, where Isaiah talks about a lion laying down with a lamb and children playing with snakes like they're toys, and there's no concern, and just the things that we can't even imagine, because we've always lived in this creation that's been marred by sin, and someday we're going to get to see it as it was, restored, regenerated. And we're so excited to be a part of that, and I don't want anybody in this room not to know that someday. So, Lord, let them hear your heart for them. And thank you for this opportunity for us as your children to be reminded that this place is not our home, but our home is coming, and maybe very soon. Pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in you're pleased, and that I'm never.
so much for worshiping with us. I hope you have a great week. We will see you next time. And if you have a couple minutes, we're going to stack the chairs. So if you have a little bit of time there, but have a great week. We will see you next time.
And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith.